Dave and Darren, Planet 93.9. It's Real Alternative Radio. Mike Schultz from the River City's Reader is here once again to tell us what he thought about the movies that we sent him to see. Mike, welcome back to the show.
It is good to be here, guys.
Holy cow, you did not care for Ghostbusters.
No. Did anyone? Yes, I'm kidding. A lot of people cared for it at my screening. Well, I saw it.
I saw it on Thursday,
like before it opened. So I saw it with the super fan screening. You know, like
there
5 o'clock.
A lot of people who Ghostbusters is a very big deal for them.
Yes,
a lot of people.
And what's driving me crazy about the last two is that, not that it's built for them, because that's cool. It should be. That's okay. But they take their fandom so seriously that the movies now are serious as all get out. Oh, you know?
Really?
It's really, really strange what's happened to this series. They've stopped making jokes. People, I mean, at least writing jokes, they get funny people in them. We have, you know, Kumail Nanjiani and Patton Oswalt. And I mean, smart people show up for these things. And they deliver their lines like they're funny. But they're not. There's like no discernible punchline there. It's all like in cadence that you're like, okay, oh, that must be a joke.
It's just cadence.
That's it.
That's it.
Aside from that, it's serious business. There's a big creature trapped in an orb who wants to freeze the world. And this is serious stuff, darn it. And so everything that like Ernie Hudson says is definitely self-important. And same with Aykroyd. And the young girl who's like the new Ghostbuster heroine. She was the best thing about the first one. Is stuck in this terrible subplot where she falls in love with a ghost who she plays chess with in the park, and the ghost is really sad-eyed and was killed in a tenement fire 100 years ago. And you're like, what is going on here?
Oh, no.
Why aren't you making me laugh?
Right.
And the action is not good, and it's senseless to boot. We have Paul Rudd is stuck in this sad subplot where he wants the little girl to treat him like a dad, and I just want to get close because I really like your mom. And the movie doesn't give us any indication of whether he's even in a romantic relationship with the mom, because they never kiss, they never hold hands, they high five once, but they never discuss their relationship. You don't know if they're dating, if they're married, what's going on, and it's like. And so the whole movie, you're making Paul Rudd make sad faces over not being able to bond with this tween. And you're like, but why should she? Are you part of the family? They forget to tell you these things.
That is
It's so
else.
Bad. It's so badly constructed and, you know, too serious to boot. I hated it. It was terrible.
And you did not like the last Ghostbusters.
No.
You hated this one somehow even more.
I hated this one worse. The last one, at least, they sent him to Oklahoma, and it was all kind of schmaltzy and family corny, and it was like, well, it's Oklahoma. And it's set in this little 50s diner town, and you're like, well, all right, it fits at least, that the style makes sense. But now we're back in Manhattan. Give me some quick pace and some funny jokes and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or the Statue of Liberty walking down Broadway, you know?
Right, right.
Something. It has no energy. It just lays there. And the audience still roared. They had a blast. I mean, everything that anyone said, they ate up.
Wow.
And it was like, what's going on here? I felt very alone. It was really weird.
One of the things I took away from your review in the River City's Reader that shocked me and made me glad that I missed out on this movie is... The guy in the first movie from the, is it the EPA that turns off the machines and sets all the ghosts free? And Bill Murray has that joke about, is it true what this man, man says?
This man has.
Yeah.
All right.
That guy is somehow the mayor of New York now?
Yeah, he's the mayor of New York
now. The guy who released all the ghosts in 1984.
Yeah, we've just kind of forgotten about
is
that.
Is now the mayor.
Yeah. We don't even think about that.
I would
that.
Leave the theater over that
of
detail.
Of course, it's stupid as all get out. Yes. No, I mean.
I get you want to have him in the movie. To some degree, but the
afterlife plays on that same level of idiocy because when they move to Oklahoma, they get Ramis's old farmhouse, and nobody in town seems to remember that ghosts happened. I mean, everyone's like, "Well, there aren't ghosts," and it's like you can get news footage of them of the Statue of Liberty walking down.
They were
Broadway.
On Larry King for
they
crying
were on
out
Larry
loud.
King. They had a Ray Stevens video. Yes. Everyone should just accept that ghosts happen. And they're still like, no. And so, yes, the mayor, the new mayor, comes back now, and it's the same thing. You know, it's like, oh, you're just causing trouble for no reason. No, there are ghosts flying all over the city.
Right.
I
would think after the 80s when ghosts were revealed and a giant marshmallow person stormed New York City.
That would be enough for everyone.
That would be something that we would talk about
remember.
A lot.
We'd think about that.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just, yeah, the whole movie has amnesia. It's the strangest thing.
That's disappointing.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, when I saw the trailer, Mike, there was so much where I thought, like, well, Patton Oswalt's in it. That looks good. And it looks like they've got the real Ghostbusters in it. And how are Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd? Are they
Bill Murray's picking up a check. I mean, that's it. He's there a couple times. Aykroyd's trying. He's really working it in an offensive way, almost. It's like, just calm down.
Right.
One scene, he spends the whole... it's set indoors, and he wears sunglasses the whole time. Just like, he's clearly too cool for this now. It's, yeah.
Was he Dr. Detroit?
I don't know. I don't know what... I mean, it must have been a reference to something that the fans liked.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a movie magazine that I remember picking up at Walden Books. Remember Walden Books?
Yeah, I love that place.
And it was a movie magazine, and the cover story was speculation that Eddie Murphy was going to be in the Ghostbusters sequel. I don't know if it was 2 or 3, but I think they were saying, you know, oh, Eddie Murphy signed on to be in the new Ghostbusters.
Oh,
that's not the movie
that
we ended up getting.
No.
But this idea of like sequels to the original Ghostbusters, this is something people have been excited about for a long time.
For sure.
Ghostbusters 2 happened, and we should not have been excited about that, although that's a movie that you like.
I do. I think it's fun. I like it because it doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Right.
And that's what I'm hating right now. It's like, stop putting this on a pedestal. Just make us laugh.
Around that time, you were working as an usher.
Yeah.
At the movie theaters in Crystal Lake, right?
Uh-huh, that's right.
So you were the guy working there at the...
For the
movie
originals.
Theater as a high school kid, you're there, you're seeing all the movies that are coming out of that time.
Yeah.
You've never seen Roadhouse, the Patrick Swayze movie.
Nope. Missed it.
What movie have you seen the most, including when you were an usher?
Ooh, including when I was
there. It's hard to say.
Well, that's different because as an usher, I probably watched Rambo the most, to be honest. Me and my friends saw that at least
Rambo 2?
Yeah, the second one,
okay.
85.
Yeah.
We saw that like 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
We loved that. As a regular movie, probably Close Encounters, I think. Maybe.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I never saw Roadhouse. It came out, I was coming back home from college at Augustana, and it was there when I picked up my summer job again. But within like days, Ghostbusters 2 was out, and Indiana Jones meeting his dad, and there were other things to see. So I'll confess,
I only saw Roadhouse for the first time like a year ago. I had never seen it myself.
I've seen
because that summer there were a lot of other movies happening.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Patrick Swayze doing karate.
That was the Batman summer. I mean,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So, it just slipped by me, and I'm not a big action fan anyway, and I didn't like Swayze all that much. I mean, he was fine.
I will say to you, Mike, that you need to watch the original Roadhouse, if for no other performance, knowing you as I think I do,
okay,
you're going to just sit there with a bowl and eat with 2 spoons every time Robert Loggia's on the screen.
Oh, God bless.
He's the heavy, and he's the most Robert Loggia.
Oh,
he's fantastic.
Wow.
If for no other reason.
More than Lost Highway?
Yes.
That's pretty Robert Loggia.
You've got a lot on your plate. I understand.
Okay. Oh,
but I would encourage you, now that you've seen this remake, reboot, what is this Roadhouse?
I don't know. Jake Gyllenhaal plays is something Dalton, so he's got the same last name as Swayze, but not the same first name. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's the same plot.
Is it his
you
kid?
Tell me.
Is it his
no, they never reference any other Daltons at all. Yeah. But okay. I mean, so the idea is that this former MMA champ
who's
like kind of hiding and trying to stay away from his violent past, is recruited to be a bouncer at this Florida Keys bar. Is that like what happens in the Swayze? I don't even know. He's like a Zen dude, I think, in that one, right?
Yes.
Where he doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Oh, yes. I don't like to fight until it's time to fight, and then I fight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, and the new one's fun, I think, for about half of it, because it's actually very funny, which is nice. Jake Gyllenhaal's kind of playing one of his one of his nut jobs, one of his Nightcrawler weirdos that Jake Gyllenhaal sometimes plays, where it's like, oh, we're not going the regular just hero muscular route. It's like, no, yeah. You're crazy. Yeah. You're clearly insane, which is fun. And he's very funny. And the action moves quickly enough. I was bored before it was half over, but it was decent, I guess. It was okay.
I'll tell you who will not be watching this is my nephew, Jake.
Oh, why is that?
Because of what Jake Gyllenhaal did to Taylor Swift.
Oh, my.
Jake Gyllenhaal's not allowed in my brother's house at all on TV. It's like, turn it off. Okay. He knows what he did.
So it's like you and Kenneth Branagh.
Exactly. There okay. was a, we Lavoras, we hold grudges.
Yeah.
Clearly. We don't let him go.
I have a buddy who had a buddy.
Yeah.
And that buddy, it was his thinking, his contention that anything you need to know about life
yeah.
can be learned from Roadhouse.
Ooh, okay. Well, that explains why I'm so stupid. Okay.
I need to see that now. Listen, I think we're in really good company in terms of not seeing Roadhouse in the theaters. That's a movie that everybody who had cable saw a million times growing up.
They did apparently a survey, 2020, first year of the pandemic.
Yeah.
That was the most watched movie on cable TV.
Yeah.
On general cable TV.
Yeah.
So everyone caught up with it later. Yes. Because it didn't do that great at the box office. It was like 40, 50 million, and then Batman opened. And there was nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wait, I'm dying to see what other movies came out in 89 that we would have seen.
I could list. I mean, we had Parenthood, we had Harry Met Sally, we had Do the Right Thing.
Okay,
I saw
all of those in the theater.
You know? Right, yeah. There's Field of Dreams was still out.
Saw that in the theater.
Say Anything.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I Shrunk the Kids.
A Lethal Weapon 2. Diplomatic Immunity.
That was the one with Pesci, right? The first one with Pesci?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot to see.
Oh, my gosh. Back to the Future Part 2.
That was a good summer.
Dead Poets Society.
Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Oh, wow.
Man, it went on and on.
The Fly 2. I don't remember them making a sequel.
I remember it being released. I never saw it. But.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was 89, the first one. Oh, wow. Skin Deep, the comedy that glows in the dark.
The comedy that glows in the dark, John Ritter.
I think I saw every movie that came out in 1989 at the old Bremen Theaters.
With the glowing condom?
That's the one.
We all laughed and laughed at that.
We did. Blake Edwards.
What is
We Hardly Knew Ye.
Shirley, the Regina King movie.
Yeah, that's on Netflix. It's a biography of Shirley Chisholm, who was the first black representative of Congress and the first black woman to run for president and the Democratic Party's first female candidate for president. And it's a fine history lesson that's completely uninteresting. And the biggest problem with it is that all of her great stuff that she did, all of her amazing accomplishments, are kind of dealt with in a quick prelude where it's like, and she was great. So now let's come to the story where she does not win the presidency. Uh-huh. And so they take as their tack her biggest failure in her career, which felt a little bit like, come on. I mean, we're honoring this really legendary, iconic figure, and that's what you're choosing to tell? I mean, it's not an...
That's the angle you choose.
Yeah, it's not an uninteresting story, but it means that she has nothing to do for 2 hours, but... Talk, you know, rail against all these guys who are like, a woman can't be president. A black person can't be president. It's like, ugh, that's all you're going to give Regina King to do?
Yeah.
She's better than that. So it's fine. It's dull. It's, yeah, a bad choice of time frame.
Let's tackle the movies that you loved.
There were a couple.
Two horror movies that you just think are terrific.
They were great.
Let's get started with Sydney Sweeney in Immaculate.
Yeah, this is the one we talked about last week. Sydney Sweeney's in a convent. She's a nun. She's a young nun.
Does she get restless
from
at some
Michigan.
Point?
No.
No?
But, well, yes, but yeah. No. I'll give you the gist is she's young, she's innocent, she's from Michigan, she's in Italy. And not long into the movie, we discover she's pregnant. But Sydney Sweeney is a virgin. The character is a virgin. And they actually had a medical procedure, an exam when she got there. And they were like, no, your hymen's intact. Everything's fine. This must be an immaculate conception. This must be God's work. She knows it ain't. She's like, no. I want to be a nun, but come on, please. And so then it becomes... How is this woman pregnant? And everybody at the convent starts treating her like the queen mother. And they're like, oh, no, keep her safe. Keep her fine. And other members of the convent are like, I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be supernatural forces? You know, and so you start spending the time on that. It's a lot of fun. First half is pretty standard. And then it gets weird and nutty. And the explanation behind the pregnancy made me kind of go,
oh, yeah,
nicely done. It was so
hot tub
creepy. There is a bathing scene.
Yeah.
I guessed right last
public
week.
Pool?
Yes. No, they're all wearing nightgowns, but they're pretty translucent nightgowns.
We're guessing how she got pregnant.
Yeah.
Don't spoil.
I'm not going to tell you.
Don't
air.
Spoil.
I'll tell you off air if you want to know.
All right.
And in the last 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes, Sydney Sweeney has one take, just a take on her face for 4 minutes. That might be the most incredible acting I've seen in a couple of years.
No kidding.
Where she blows you away, what she does in those 4 minutes. It was astounding. I'm a fan of hers anyway.
I think we kind of dismiss her just because she's the hot new thing.
She's really pretty, and she's really, and she, I don't want to say, she's not blandly pretty, but
right.
She looks like a standard surfer girl from Southern California, you know.
Right.
But she's got range. She is
It just seems like everything I've seen her do, like,
different
like
in
White Lotus, she's great in White Lotus, but it's one note she plays the whole time.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's a note she plays.
Until the last episode, I will argue. By the last episode, her heart gets broken and it's...
Okay, I'll go along with that.
But she's not like that character in Euphoria, and she's not like that character in that rom-com, Anyone But You, that just opened.
Okay. I guess I haven't
seen
those.
She's good.
Good, well, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Because, again, I think a lot of us just kind of dismiss her because she's pretty and young.
It reminds me of how everyone kind of treated Michelle Pfeiffer once upon a time, where it was like, oh, you're just too pretty to be a great actor.
Right.
And it's like, no, she's great.
Right.
She's legit great. So
this is neither here nor there, but we just watched Stardust for the first time this week.
Oh, it's kind of fun.
It really was kind of fun. Michelle Pfeiffer's great in it.
Yep, she's great
for what
in everything.
They give her to do.
Agreed.
You also saw a movie called Late Night with the Devil that you enjoyed.
This is one you guys would dig, I think. This one's cool. This one is set on a talk show on Halloween night in 1977. And it's this
kind of... I like it so far.
So far, so good. Johnny Carson wannabe. He's been doing the show for 6 years. His ratings are kind of in the toilet a little bit. He gets nominated for a lot of Emmys. He never wins. He needs to kind of resurrect his show. Otherwise, it's going to be canceled. And he's like, here's what we're going to do for Halloween. We're going to have on a professional psychic and a parapsychologist and a professional cynic who wants to debunk things and a little girl who looks not unlike Linda Blair, who is apparently possessed by the devil, and they can kind of pull out the devil whenever they want to. It's like
a neat act.
Yeah, it's a pretty good trick. But the whole thing is done in real time. So you start with the movie, or the talk show episode.
Yeah.
And when they take a commercial break, we go to behind the scene footage that lasts about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the show, and it's a slow build towards something's going to happen by the end of this broadcast, because they open it with narration going, this is the most disturbing night of television ever recorded. We have the master tapes. And you're like, okay, I'm on board. And you've got this.
You promised.
Yeah, the professional cynic is like a irritating ham who you're just like, oh, he's got to be taken down a peg or two.
Yeah.
And it's a blast. I had so much fun. And the lead actor is an actor named David Desmalchian, who is... a minor figure. He played Polka Dot Man in the latest Suicide Squad, if you saw that. But he's in Dark Knight and Oppenheimer, and his credits are crazy. And it's his first lead role ever, I believe. And he's stunning as this Johnny Carson wannabe. It's fun. And it looks like a 70s talk show, which was great. I had so much fun. I think you guys would love it.
So those are, of all the movies you've seen, the two horror movies were really
far and above the best things. Yeah.
Good to know.
Which of those two did you like the best?
I think the Devil movie, because it was surprising throughout. It has a kind of lame ending that I wasn't crazy about, but the rest of it was outstanding.
Yeah. It was great. I have to find out who it was, but I was there's a movie critic who I was reading earlier in the week, and they are now doing this thing where they keep track. And you mentioned it in your review too.
Hmm.
They are keeping track now of all the movies they see when a cell phone shows up.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're saying that they've noticed in the last year, screenwriters hate writing movies that take place in an era where everyone has a smartphone.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to write a movie where everyone can know whatever they need to know whenever
exactly
they need
right.
to know.
Exactly right, yeah. That's
so you mentioned in your review for the Sydney Sweeney movie, what's it called again?
Immaculate. Yeah.
You mentioned that you were really impressed in one scene where she leaves a room and everyone's on their cell phone, because you just don't see that in movies.
You don't see them much anymore, exactly. And especially for that one, it's like, this is a convent horror movie. No. We don't have cell phones there. And so even realizing it was in present day was kind of startling. But that's a really good point. You're right, because... I mean, think about the things we don't get anymore because of cell phones. Like a paranoid thriller with Robert Redford where you have to run to find a phone booth.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or somebody is furiously getting to their computer to type away and something. Yeah. It's like, no, just pick up your phone. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it has ruined a lot of
drama. I was watching this. That Cillian Murphy's got a movie. Oh, you'll remember this. It's Cillian Murphy and Rachel McAdams. The movie's called Red Eye.
Red Eye. Yes.
And he's sitting next to her and he's like, okay, we got your dad. You're going to do some stuff for us. Right. We're terrorists.
Yeah.
And she's just got to sit there and listen to it. I'm thinking, this is a movie from like 2005, 2006. Yeah. Now she could just text somebody, hey, terrorist
in trouble.
Got me.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Oppenheimer next
so
to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so right. You almost have to, like, they have to pretend they don't exist.
Yes, or give reasons for why we don't have them, like as in the Sydney Sweeney movie, where it's like, well, they're going to an abbey. You know, you're not allowed to text. So,
Mike, there's a new Liam Neeson movie opening this week
with a gun.
And on the poster, he's got a shotgun over his shoulder. How are we not going to this right after the show today?
You're welcome to join me. I'm going at 4:30 today.
In the land of saints and sinners, Liam Neeson, hoping to leave his dark past behind him, former assassin Finbar Murphy. I used to kill people for a living. He leads a quiet life in a coastal Irish town. I don't do that no more.
Don't make me do it again.
I left that life behind me. I won't kill again.
You will, though.
Don't make me, Siren Hans. That's the movie. You've just seen
I've
the movie.
Seen it. Yep, I'm caught up. I can't believe it. I can't believe there's another Liam with a gun movie.
Finbar Murphy, the former assassin, leads a quiet life in a coastal Irish town. I've come here for the quiet. Far from the political violence that grips the rest of the country, when menacing terrorists show up, Finbar soon discovers that one of them has been abusing a local girl. Drawn into an increasingly vicious game of cat and mouse, he must choose between exposing his secret identity and defending his friends and neighbors. AI is just writing Liam Neeson movies
exactly
now, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't going to do this. But they're abusing they're abusing a local gal. I can't have it.
It's
rated R. It's a thriller, and Mike has to go see it today.
I do. I can't believe it.
Okay. It's got Siren Hands in it. So
it's got Carrie Condon. I like her. It's got Colm Meaney. I know there are good people in it. I know. Don't break my heart again.
I left that life behind me. But they're abusing a girl, Finbar.
Finbar Murphy.
Go fetch me my shotgun.
Just be called Shamrock O'Blarney Stone. Finbar Murphy.
Also opening, we've got Asphalt City. Do you know anything about this?
Asphalt City, yes.
I wonder
Sean
if
Penn.
Finbar's got a, got a drunk friend that's Fubar.
Fubar, fetch me my gun.
I'd see that. I'd see any of these options over this one.
I loaded a shotgun with rock salt. Sorry. Fubar, you're always making a mess of things. Asphalt City follows Ollie Cross, a young paramedic assigned to New York City night shift with an uncompromising seasoned partner, Gene Rutkowski, played by Sean Penn. I know that dude.
It's been a while since we've seen Sean Penn. I'm looking forward to this just to hang with him for a while. It's been a long time, right? It feels like it.
I can't think. I am
Licorice Pizza, I guess. He was in that.
I haven't seen that yet, which is shocking.
Okay.
Because I love that director.
Yeah.
I Am Sam is the last thing I can think of that he's in.
Okay. Yikes. Okay. You're missing a few, but all right.
Flag Day, was that a thing that he did, or did he just direct that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
The Dark Knights reveal a city in crisis. Rutkowski guides Cross as each 911 call is often dangerous and uncertain, putting their lives on the line every day to help others. Cross soon discovers firsthand the chaos and awe of a job that careens from harrowing to heartfelt, testing his relationship with Rutkowski and the ethical ambiguity that can be the difference between life and death.
Okay.
At some point, please, I'm praying to the movie gods. At some point, I want the ambulance to show up at a car wreck. And I want Sean Penn to mention that his dad has an incredible set of tools. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, I'll let you know.
That was
that would be great.
Or he's got a bagel in his pants.
Right. Isn't this our time, Mr. Hand? Also, God help you, Mike Schultz. You're spending Holy Week. You're ending your Holy Week by seeing Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire.
Yeah. So what does the X stand for?
X is just how we say and now.
No, there are arguments online about how you pronounce this title.
Help me understand.
Well, X is apparently like an oppositional kind of symbol. And so some people are saying it's Godzilla against Kong. I kind of like Godzilla times Kong because I like the idea of
multiplying
of the math.
You like Godzilla movies that have math problems in them.
Yes, absolutely.
Godzilla minus one.
Yeah.
Godzilla times Kong.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
I'm okay with
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
No one's telling us different.
I'm going to tell you right now, this PG-13 movie runs an hour and 55 minutes. There's no way it's anywhere close to as good as Godzilla minus one.
No. And we're mad at the movie already because they won't release Godzilla minus one because this movie exists.
The epic battle continues. Legendary Pictures' cinematic monsterverse follows up the explosive showdown of Godzilla versus Kong with an all-new adventure that pits the almighty Kong and the fearsome Godzilla against a colossal undiscovered threat hidden within our world, challenging their very existence and our own. Godzilla times Kong, the new empire. That seems goofy.
It does sound stupid now.
Delves further into the histories of these titans and their origins, as well as the mysteries of Skull Island and beyond, while uncovering the mythic battle that helped forge these extraordinary beings and tied them to humankind forever.
I swear I fell asleep halfway through that description.
Yeah. You know what this movie needs? Liam Neeson.
Or Sean Penn.
Either way, that would work. I mean, you...
Isn't this our time?
Did you like the first Godzilla with the Matt... Was it Matt Reeves who did that first one?
No, I haven't liked any of them. Okay. I actually went back and checked. I'm like, nope. I hated that one, and these two.
It seems like that first Godzilla gets a pass from a lot of critics. Not you, though.
No.
All right.
I mean... I've seen worse. The Roland Emmerich one is worse, but that's not saying anything.
There's that.
Yeah.
This is more about me, but when I see the trailer for this, I hate that baby.
The
Kong
baby, I
want to
punch. I want to punch in the mouth.
It's got the most punchable face, right?
Yes, it really does.
Like I should love
terrible.
Baby Kong.
Yeah,
and
a
giant monkey should be my favorite thing I've ever seen.
I think we're spoiled because of the recent of Minus One, because, I mean, that creature looked believable. I bought it.
Yeah.
And I see these cartoon Kongs now, and I'm like, stop, you know? Yeah. I'll let you know.
Off he goes. Mike Schultz.
Happy anniversary, guys, by the way. This Monday, 20 years. That's amazing.
20 years.
That's incredible.
It really is.
It really is.
He's Mike Schultz. He's a movie critic for the River City's Reader. He's an editor with that fine paper. You can read his reviews online at rcreader.com and, of course, in the pages of the River City's Reader. Mike, thanks for joining us.
A pleasure. Thanks.